For our reading in God's Word, we turn back to the same passage that we read this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the first 13 verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let us hear once again the living word of the living God. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Well, this evening we'll carry on considering a passage from 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, and this evening from verse 8 down through 13. Well, when you're doing something hard, remembering why you are doing what you are doing is key. When you're slogging through studying, you remember the exam coming up, and it motivates you. You keep on studying. When you're climbing a hill and it gets steep and difficult, you remember the summit, the achievement, the views, and on you go up to the top. And here, Paul is speaking to Timothy about suffering, about some of the hard things in the Christian life. And he calls him at this point to exercise his memory, to remember three things that are going to give him the motivation, the strength to go on through the suffering, through the pain. And it is important that we do exercise our spiritual memories. In the Old Testament, it was spiritual memory problems that led Israel into unbelief and unfaithfulness. Psalm 78, they did not keep God's covenant. Why? They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown. Forgetfulness, lack of spiritual memory leads to unfaithfulness. So CPC this evening, get your spiritual memories engaged and going tonight. And remember these three things that Paul the Apostle calls us to remember. Remember first, he says, Jesus and the gospel, verses 8 and 9. Remember the church, verse 10. And then remember the faithfulness of God, verses 11 to 13. If we are going to go on and persevere through suffering and difficulty, remember Jesus and the gospel. Remember the church and remember the faithfulness of God. First then, this call from Paul to Timothy to remember Jesus and the gospel, verses 8 and 9. Paul commands Timothy, remember your Saviour. And there's few more vital things for us to do in our lives than to remember Jesus. There's only two sacraments given to us in the New Testament. And one of them, the Lord's Supper, is designed at least in part to ensure we remember the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11, do this in remembrance of me. But it might seem superfluous for Paul to exhort Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. Surely we couldn't forget Jesus. Surely Timothy, as a minister of the gospel, couldn't forget Jesus. But our own hearts and the Word of God tells us that it's very possible for any of us to live our lives forgetful of what our Savior has done. Think of Israel. Time and again they were told in Deuteronomy, you shall remember you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. They had seen God's salvation. They had been delivered from captivity. How could they forget? And yet, they forgot the Lord's salvation, and we so often are no better. So we need this command to remember Jesus. But Paul here doesn't just command or commend a generic remembering of Jesus. He specifically wants us to remember our Savior in two ways. First, as the one who has triumphed over death. And second, as the one who now reigns. Look at verse 8, we are told first, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Now why is this remembrance important for those who are going through suffering? Well, remembering Jesus Christ as the one who is risen from the dead reminds us that he himself suffered, that he never asks us to go through anything that he himself didn't go through. He suffered to the point of the cursed death of the cross. He suffered to bear the very wrath of God against sin. Jesus has walked in darker places than he will ever call any of his people to walk. So we remember Jesus risen from the dead to remind us that he first suffered for us. But then we remember Jesus risen from the dead to ground ourselves in the truth that suffering for the Christian is never the last or the final word. The end of our story is not suffering, it is not death, it is glorious resurrection. Jesus, as the one who is raised from the dead, has sealed our resurrection life. 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. So the resurrected Jesus assures us that suffering is not the last word. But then we also remember the reigning Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David. We're to remember, to think on, to meditate on Jesus as the seed of David. Now who was David? The archetypal, the great king of Israel. The one who foreshadowed the kingship of Jesus. And the one who had this great promise to Samuel 7, your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever. Your throne shall be established forever. And so this command to remember Jesus as the offspring of David is a command to remember him as the great king that God had promised, the king who rules and who reigns in an everlasting, eternal kingdom. It's a call to remember that to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, why do a suffering people need to remember that Jesus is king? Well, surely when we are suffering, we need to remember that it is our Savior who reigns. That the one who loves us, that the one who will do us good and not evil all the days of our lives, is the one who controls all things. Not one hair of our heads can be harmed. Not one hardship can come into our lives unless King Jesus, in his sovereign rule, knows that ultimately it is for our good. Now that can be and that is a hard truth to hold on to. It's hard to hold on to that in suffering. But it is a truth that we must remember if we are to endure through suffering, that in it all, it is our King Jesus who is sovereign. So remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. And don't just take my word that this is key to enduring through suffering. Paul himself, remembering these truths, is now in the act of enduring through suffering. What does he go on to say in the end of verse 8 and verse 9? Remember Jesus Christ, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. This remembering who Jesus is personal for Paul. It is my gospel. What Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, is fused with Paul's very identity. And because of this, because Paul remembers Jesus as the risen Messiah and great King, he is able to endure the suffering of a Roman prison. Paul is being treated like a criminal, one who has done great evil. And yet, remembering this Jesus who himself suffered death as a criminal, only to be raised and given a name above every name, gives Paul the strength to endure. And in his suffering, Paul, by God's grace, retains that firm grip on the sovereign control of Jesus Christ. Because Paul says that even though he is bound, at the end of verse 9, the word of God is not bound. This is the testimony of a man suffering and yet remembering that Jesus is Lord. So then, to endure through suffering, remember Jesus. Then verse 10, remember the church. To endure, remember the church. Verse 10. Paul doesn't simply endure by remembering his Savior, though that is the ultimate and the sufficient means to endure. He also remembers, he also thinks on Jesus' blood-bought, beloved people. Paul says, therefore, remembering Jesus, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Jesus and his people are one. Jesus cannot be separated from his church any more than he can be separated from his Father. As Paul says in Colossians, the Lord Jesus is the head of the body, the church. We are with him, united as one body. We are married to Jesus in an unbreakable covenant, Revelation 21. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb, the church. And so when we remember and love Jesus Christ, we also must love and remember his people. And loving God's people calls us to endure whatever personal sufferings we are going through. This is Paul's train of thought. Knowing Jesus, knowing that he laid down his life for his people, knowing that he who knew no sin loved his elect so much that he was willing to be made sin for them. Knowing that Jesus was raised for them and now rules and reigns for them. Knowing all this, Paul says, I will endure suffering too for the good of God's people. If the good shepherd was willing to lay down his life for these, his sheep, I will be willing to endure suffering for their good too. And Paul here is pretty emphatic. Therefore, I endure everything. Are you serious, Paul? Do you endure everything because you remember the elect? Yes. Everything. 2 Corinthians 11. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times shipwrecked. A night and a day adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Oh yes, Paul endures everything for the sake of God's elect. Remembering Christ's love for them stirs Paul's love for them, and he endures all things for their good. And out of this remembering, out of this love for God's elect, many have walked in Paul's footsteps. Think of the missionary John Payton. 3 months after arriving in the New Hebrides, his wife had died, soon to be followed by their baby son. To guard their graves due to cannibalism in the islands. But he persevered. He dedicated his life to bring the gospel to these New Hebrides that had brought him such loss and suffering and pain. How could he do this? Simply for the sake of the elect in the New Hebrides, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So do we remember God's elect? What does that remembrance lead us to endure through? Well, may God give us the grace to love and remember Christ's body and to endure sacrifice and suffering for them. So we endure by remembering Jesus and the gospel. We endure by remembering the church. And then the final call is to remember God's faithfulness, verses 11 through 13. Paul rounds out his exhortation to endurance in suffering by giving us a trustworthy saying. There are 5 trustworthy sayings in the pastoral epistles. The faithful saying of the gospel, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The faithful saying of ecclesiology, if any man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. The faithful saying of godliness. Godliness is of value in every way as it holds the promise of the present life and the life that is to come. And the faithful saying of justification, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. The gospel, the church, godliness, justification. And here the last faithful saying that Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, would breathe out. The faithful saying of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And these sayings may have functioned as some sort of mini creed or confession in the early church, But even if that isn't so, by badging them apart as these separate faithful sayings, Paul is saying, give special attention to these portions of my letters. Sink yourselves especially into them, because while all of what I'm writing is trustworthy, in a sense, these are especially trustworthy and important for us. And Paul begins this last of his faithful sayings by emphasizing for us the pattern of life we have to live in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have died with him, verse 11, we will also live with him. Here, Paul is reiterating so many of his earlier thoughts. As those who have entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have entered into fellowship with the death and sufferings of our Savior. And in doing so, it is certain we will also share in his resurrection, life and power. And perhaps in Paul's writings, there is no truth more emphasized than this one. That as those who are united to Christ, our lives must take on the shape and the pattern that Christ's life took. The fact that we have to suffer, that we have to die to self, is a non-negotiable consequence of our union with the Lord Jesus. The life of Jesus was a life of suffering, followed by a life of glory. And Paul says, Christian, that will be your life too. Romans 8, we are children of God, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. Our suffering, our dying to self for righteousness' sake in this life is painful. It is hard, but it is an unbreakable pledge of the glory of eternal life to come, just as it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to endure, because in dying to self, we are assured that we will live forever. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. So this faithful saying begins with the pattern of union with Christ in the shape that his life took, and what an encouragement that is for us to endure. And Paul goes on to give us a promise if we do endure in verse 12. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Paul knows that this Christ-like pattern in our lives is not easy for us. The act of dying with Christ is hard. It is difficult. Suffering is not easy. It has to be endured. And so Paul continues the faithful saying by promising that for all of us who are undergoing suffering in union with Christ, there is a reign with Jesus also coming. We are required by grace to endure, but doing that, we have a great promise that we will reign with Jesus. And what a promise it is. Paul tells us, in a sense, that we already reign. God has raised us up today. God has seated us with Jesus in the heavenly places. We are already kings and priests with God. But now we only know in part. And there is so, so much more to come. The last day, when our body is reunited with our soul, we will know, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. We will be given the crown of life as those who have endured, James 1. Blessed is the one who remains steadfast under trial. When he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. and we will be crowned with the crown of glory. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And what an encouragement that is for us to endure, to go on. What a reward there is that awaits those who live the Christ-shaped life. If we endure an unfading crown of glory. Paul doesn't just give us encouragement to live the Christ-shaped life. He goes on to warn us of the danger of denying the Lord Jesus. If we endure, verse 12, we will reign. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. We have glorious privileges, an eternity of reigning with Jesus if we endure to the end. And yet Scripture and our own experience warns us that despite the goodness and the mercy of God, it is possible for professing Christians to deny the Lord who bought them. And so Paul, having encouraged us in this faithful saying to go on living the Christ-like life, warns us directly of the consequences of turning back. And in the context of suffering and persecution as we have here, it is a needed warning. In effect, Jesus says, whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And it's a heartbreaking thing to think that some will go out from the church, failing to endure, showing they were never of the church. We all need to feel the weight of this warning that if we deny him, he will deny us. But however, as the author of the Hebrews said after one of his great warnings against apostasy, so I trust we can all say of ourselves, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. Paul closes this faithful saying with a reminder of the faithfulness of God. He's called us to live out our union with Christ. He's encouraged us with the promise of reigning with Jesus forever. He's warned us of the danger of denying the faith. And then he closes by saying, think on the faithfulness of God. Remember God's faithfulness. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now perhaps we get a bit encouraged by the end of this faithful saying. If we stumble and fall, well, even to the point of denying our Savior, yet he is faithful. And he will recover us from our sin if we are his people. We can be faithless, but he remains faithful. Now that is true. You know, God will ensure that none of his people are lost. But that is not the message that we have here at the end of this faithful saying. What we are called to remember here is that if we turn out to be faithless, unbelieving, if we deny the faith and give up our profession of the truth, then God remains faithful. And in his faithfulness, he will judge and he will condemn us. You see, it is possible for us to deny God, but God cannot deny himself. He cannot deny what he has said. He cannot be unfaithful to his word. And so the words of Paul in Romans 3 explain what we have here. What if some were unfaithful, Paul says, Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. When men and women apostatize from the faith, God remains faithful to his word, that those who deny him, he will deny. He will be faithful in executing the judgment he so clearly warns of. And so the closing sentence of this faithful saying, the closing sentence of this section about endurance through suffering, is a solemn reminder to us of God's justice and God's faithfulness to his own holiness. This is God saying to us, remember, I will keep my threats as well as my promises. This is God saying, no, what I have threatened, I mean. Though we might be faithless, God never can be. And remembering that is a sober and solemn call to us not to turn back in the face of persecution. So, where should this leave us? Well, as God's people, it should leave us sober as we remember God's faithfulness to his threats and to his warnings. But much more than that, it should leave us filled with joy as we remember that we are united to Christ. We are part of his beloved people. We can remember the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious good news of the gospel. He is the one who died and was raised for us and our salvation. That he is the one who is reigning now and can keep us and will keep us. We shouldn't leave these verses fearful. Rather, we should leave these verses by running to the Lord Jesus Christ, by remembering him, and by being full of thankfulness that we can endure and we will endure as we are strengthened, verse 1, by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless to us his word.